Welcome, welcome to the Living Savior Church today. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Shake somebody's hand. Love on them. Find you a seat. We're going to get ready today. We're going to have some live testimonies today. As if the one Cheryl Gibb wasn't live. She was a live wire, but those people were halfway around the world or somewhere. So anyway, Ted's got a testimony he's going to give us. Praise the Lord. I love testimonies, don't you, Ted?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
First, I want to tell you, Pastor, that I love you.
Oh, well, praise the Lord. I love you, too. Praise the Lord.
A friend of mine at work had some furniture to sell, and I decided to purchase it. So I went to her house to pick up the furniture, and her husband was there. So I met her husband, very nice man. He talked about how he was teaching a Bible school study to young kids about prayer. And I said, okay, let me share something about prayer that I've learned from you. And so I started sharing things, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit started flowing through me. It was incredible. So then I gave him the money, and then I walked out to my truck after I loaded just the couches. I was coming back for the tables. And so I noticed in my truck, I had more money in my truck. I said, no, this is not right. So I take the money quickly and go back to the house. So I knock on the door, he opens, and he said, let's count the money. And so he started counting the money, and then he said, wait a minute, you've just given me so much. Take the money back. I said, no, this is your money. So I said, God has blessed me so much. Take this money. So he did. And then I start walking outside, and then he runs after me. And he said, Ted, what you've given me, you'll never understand. And then he looked at me, and he said, it's you. It's you. It's really you. And this confused me. And he said, it's really you. And he starts crying. So he starts crying, and the Lord told me to tell him he loved him. So I said, God loves you. And I hugged him. So after he stopped crying, he went back inside. I took the furniture home, unloaded it, came back for the tables. So I went back in for the tables, and I loaded them up, and he helped me. And then he said to me, Ted, 30 years ago, my son died. And I was asking God a lot of questions. And you answered all my questions.
Wow.
And I knew it wasn't you, but it was Jesus in you.
Wow, praise the Lord.
Amazing.
Praise the Lord.
And a lot of those things I learned here at this church, just to let you know.
Amen, praise the Lord.
So as I'm getting in the truck, I turned the radio on because I started sobbing. It was incredible for somebody to see Jesus in me. Very humbling. And then the song came on, Let Them See You in Me. And I just started sobbing like a little baby all the way home.
Praise the Lord.
So thank you.
Amen, brother. Yeah. Praise God. Wow, God is good. Mark's got one too. He's got some testimony here. He's a live wire too now. So
all right.
Hold that thing up close to your
thank
mouth.
Thank you, Pastor.
So you praise the Lord.
All right. Most of y'all, I think, know me. I've been here coming for a while now. So I'll start from the beginning. Most of you have already heard it, but hear it again.
Amen.
All right. So about 5 years ago, I was diagnosed with stage 4 prostate cancer. I don't know if Pastor, well, I know Pastor told you what causes prostate cancer. The sin is basically sexual perversion. I hope there's not any young kids in here. Guilty as charged. They really do need to know. They need to know, and they need to hear.
Amen.
They need to hear what I'm about to say.
Amen.
Because there's hope for everyone. Trust me. Anyway, so early in my life, I was guilty of all of the things that the pastor told me caused prostate cancer. I actually turned from those sins quite a few years ago, way before I was diagnosed with the prostate cancer. But if you know prostate cancer, it's very slow to progress. So in a way, I was blessed that if I had to have cancer, it was prostate cancer. So anyway, after coming here and learning what caused my cancer and my sin that caused my cancer, the last time I got up here, I told you that my numbers had dropped over time, but then started creeping back up just exactly like my oncologist told me they would. Okay? which the way to fix that is change the meds to something that works. He told me from day one, that I would succumb to this cancer. There was no doubt about it. He would give me different meds that would drive the numbers down, but he said over time, it would get to the point where it just wasn't going to work. All right. So last time I was up here talking with you, he had prescribed me some Zytiga pills. I brought them. I still have them at the house, along with the steroids that go with the Zytiga to keep you from getting sick and, you know, feeling bad. Really and truly, of all the stuff that I hated not taking, it's the steroids. Because I guarantee you, you can take those and you feel like a young person again. All the aches and pains and all of that goes away. But I quit taking those also because I quit taking the Zytiga. I took them for 1 week, 4 pills a day, 120 pills in a bottle that cost $10,000. Wow. It cost me $10 because I have good insurance. But anybody that does not have insurance that walks in and they prescribe that, it's one month's worth of pills for $10,000. I always ask Texas Oncology if I didn't have insurance what it would cost, and they always tell me. So anyway, I quit taking them, and later I had my every 3 month appointment with the oncologist, and I told him that I had quit taking them, and actually, my numbers had gone up. They had gone from 70-something, I don't remember which, to 88-point-something. But I told him I'm not taking them anymore. I think I shared that with you the last time I was here. Anyway, I told him I wasn't going to take them anymore, that I had turned it over to God, and he was either going to call me home or he was going to cure me. Simple as that, right? You probably heard that the last time I was up here. All right, so several months went by. I had another doctor's appointment. The week before my actual appointment, I go to Texas Oncology. I give blood, and then he reads those results. Okay, so a healthy man with a healthy prostate, his PSA count is zero. When I started this, very first appointment with Texas Oncology, my numbers were 570. Hence the stage 4 prostate cancer that had spread to my bones, lymph nodes, lymph glands, and all of that. Felt fine. Never had any symptoms. Still don't. I know why I don't now. Getting to that point, or that part of the story. Anyway, so I went back after the numbers had been 88. 3 months later, I went back. Again, I had shared with him that I wasn't going to take anything for this. And when I went back, gave blood, and then a week later, he read my results. He actually walked in with a pen and a piece of paper, which he had never done before. He knew that I had quit taking the Zytiga. He knew I wasn't taking anything. So he said, all right, I want to know what you've done, because your numbers went from 88 to 9.27. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anyway, so without any reluctance whatsoever, now he told me this because he knew that he didn't do anything for me to drive my numbers from 88 to 9.27. All right, so without any reluctance whatsoever, he asked me that question, what are you doing? I told him, I gave it to God.
He changed doctors.
That's exactly right. That is exactly right. So I fully suspect that the next time I go and give blood, not going to take anything from him, but I really believe the next time I go and give blood, it'll be less than 9.27, if not zero.
Amen.
This is my testimony. It's real.
Amen.
The pastor, his wife, y'all aren't paying me to stand up here and say this. Feel free to share this video with the videos that you make.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with it in the world. I don't mind giving anybody my testimony, and in fact, I've given it to several people since the doctor told me what he told me. Amen. So I have no doubt in my mind that it wasn't the prayers of these people. It wasn't the prayers of y'all, this church. That is the reason why I'm on the road to recovery if I'm not zero.
Amen. Amen.
So thank you. Thank you again. Thank all y'all.
Amen. Praise God. We appreciate that. Praise the Lord, brother. Praise God. Wow. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
Change doctors. Oh, Pat, you want to say something?
I have a little one.
Oh, okay. Pat used to work for us, so, and she got crazy here and went off down to South America, hurt her husband, so she's back home for a day or two, so she come to church, praise the Lord.
Anyway, about a year ago, a friend from San Antonio was visiting us, and we were coming back to the house from an appointment she had, and we were coming down this hill. We live in Boquete, Panama, and it's very hilly there. And we were coming down this hill, and I could see, like from here to the camera, there was a motorcycle wreck, and this huge Harley was in the middle of the road. And as I said, oh my goodness, there's been a wreck. And as we got closer, I looked over, and in the ditch was an American man. And I said, oh, we've got to stop and pray. So I pulled over in someone's driveway, and Colleen and I jumped out of the car, and he was like halfway in a ditch, and he had been thrown 40 feet in the air. Mm-hmm. And his helmet had come off. He was bleeding. I thought, this man is dead, and I just started praying over him. I said, I command life to come back into your spirit. You will live and not die and declare the glory of the Lord. And Colleen's in the ditch holding his bloody head, and I'm just praying and praying. These Panamanians are looking at us like, oh my goodness, this is serious. And I thought in my heart, this guy is dead. And I just kept praying the word over him, and all of a sudden he comes to life. Hallelujah. And so the ambulance came and took him to the hospital, and then I called he's in this motorcycle group in Panama. These Americans ride Harleys over there, a small group of men, and I kept checking with someone that knew him, and was checking on how he was doing. And the reports I got were, oh my goodness, he is like in ICU and he's not going to make it. So the whole weekend we kept praying, and that was on a Friday. And then Sunday, Eric and I found the hospital he was in David. And I said, well, we just have to go and tell him that I was the first on the scene and that I prayed for him. And so we knock on his hospital room door, and we walk in, and he is sitting up in a chair on his iPad. I said, oh my goodness, you look great. I said, we were the first on the scene, a friend and I really didn't think you were going to make it. And I said, I prayed for you, and I want you to know that God thinks you're awfully special to have saved your life.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
And then about 6 months ago, we were in rainy season, and my husband Eric called me to come pick him up. He was laying a hardwood floor. And so we have two little dogs, so the girls and I got in the car to go get him. And as I turned onto the Boquete, the international highway, to go get him, it was just pouring down rain. And so I'm kind of going uphill, and it's two lanes on one side with the medium in the middle and then two lanes on the other side. So I had just turned the corner, and I look about 50 feet, and this double cab Toyota pickup truck he lost control, and he started flipping. And he flipped, and he flipped, and all I could think of is, oh my goodness, and I don't even know how to call 911 there because I don't speak Spanish. And so I thought, I'll call my friend and we'll just start praying for him, because to see a heavy truck like that just go in the air and flip, 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 it was horrifying. So I just kept going to get Eric, and I called my friend, and I said, we have got to pray right now. I said, there's a terrible accident. So when Eric and I came back about 45 minutes later, that pickup was like an accordion. And I thought, oh my goodness, how could anyone have lived through that? Well, the next day I emailed this friend of mine. I said, we've got to pray. I don't know who this guy was, but it was a terrible, terrible accident. And the next day my friend emailed me that lives there, and she said, some Panamanian friends said the guy is fine and walked away from the accident.
Wow. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Wow, what happens when we pray? Wow. That should fire every one of y'all up to pray for somebody. I mean, even if there ain't nothing wrong with somebody, you need to pray for them anyway. Nothing wrong with praying. Anybody else? Do we have anybody else who wants to give a testimony today, since Cheryl don't have any? Those are great testimonies. Are we all done? Okay, praise the Lord. What a God we serve, huh?
Amen.
Just think, he went to the cross for you this season that we're just now coming into, what we call the Easter season. It's amazing what Jesus did so that we could get our prayers answered. That he was beaten and bruised and killed and hung on a cross and done all those things. And just think, because he did those things, he told us that he was going to bear our sickness and remove our disease. And he did. And so few of us ever get a hold of the power of prayer. But when you, all of y'all that have given testimonies today, it's amazing to stop and think that in my life, when I was a younger man in the Baptist church, I loved God with all my heart, had no idea how much power he had and what he had done for me. But I never prayed in faith for anything. I did everything on my own. I didn't know I could pray for things, so I did everything myself. You know, I didn't realize that I couldn't do anything by myself. I didn't know the word says that you can't do anything on your own. Without him, you can do nothing. So even though I was the kind of guy that thought, because I'm just a young, healthy guy, I can do this, and I didn't realize that God put in me that I can't even take a breath without him. I can't breathe without him. I can't pick up anything. I can't even pick up a toothpick without his intervention. But I didn't know all that. He was just giving me all of this just because I was his son. I didn't know I was his son. I really didn't know how the power of being a son of God. But slowly but surely, God began to reveal to me these wonderful things, and I began to understand who I was in Christ and that I could pray. And then when I finally got a hold of the fact that when you pray, you must pray in faith, nothing wavering. And I thought, boy, that's got to be impossible. I don't know anybody that could pray like that. Do you, friends?
I can't.
We can. You know that if we don't know it, if we don't know what we've got in Christ, we can't pray the prayer of faith. I mean, I've asked this question so many places now. I wouldn't ask it here at all because I know what y'all's answer would be. When I ask somebody, do you believe that you can pray the prayer of a righteous man? And I've had pastors. I've asked pastors, several of them in my life, do you think that you are as righteous as Jesus? And you know what most of them will tell you? No, I'm not righteous as Jesus, only Jesus. He's God. I couldn't be righteous like him. But the Scripture doesn't say. The Scripture says you are as righteous as he is. So if I'm as righteous as him when I pray, can I expect him to answer?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Now, if I don't pray, it don't happen, does it, God?
No.
Yeah, you got to pray and believe. So, but anyway, I just stand in awe at this season that we're going into, this Easter season. and the prayers of faith that we can pray. And just like all of these, all of the two men that gave their testimonies and Pat with his testimonies, you know, how many times have we prayed? I remember one time that Dave, our young man that's out in California visiting his folks, his mother and everything, he was down here in North Fort Worth or somewhere, and a guy had a motorcycle wreck, kind of like what they talked about a while ago. And it looked like the guy was hurt pretty bad. So Dave, of course, Dave always stops and helps. You know, that's just the way Dave is. But anyway, he pulled up out there and stopped one over there, and the boy is pretty well bunged up. And so he said, well, you know, he said, are you a Christian? He said, no, I'm a Muslim. Well, Dave, he'd been the nice gentleman that he is. He said, well, can I pray for you? And that Muslim boy said, no. Dave said, well, in this case, I guess I got a captive audience. You can't get away. So he prayed for him anyway. Now, if you got a young boy that's been hurt on a motorcycle, the motorcycle laying on top of him, and he's hurt, and he's cut up and beat up, he ain't going to get up and walk off, is he?
No.
So in that case, you have a captive audience. You can just pray the prayer of faith for that boy. And did you know that God will honor your prayer?
That's right.
For that boy, although that boy is not a believer in Jesus Christ at all, God can take your prayer and completely heal that boy. And he never knew what happened. And he'd say, well, that prayer you prayed, of course, this is what they all say. You know, you may have prayed, but it didn't do no good. There was 1,000 people praying for him. No, in these cases, there wasn't nobody praying for him. Do you know Muslims, they don't pray for one another? They don't believe their God will do anything. They don't believe he will, and he won't. I mean, it's so amazing. But you know, this God that we serve, he's given us some gifts to use for his glory. And most people that are in the church don't even know those gifts are there. But those gifts, we're going to read about those things today in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And 1 Corinthians chapter 12 talks about the gifts of the Spirit. So I want you to realize these gifts God gave you and me so we can do great things for the kingdom of God. Now, if you don't know these gifts are there, if you don't know he's given you these gifts and you don't seek these gifts and ask for these gifts to be put in you, you'll be a normal church member that goes through your life that probably never sees an answer to prayer. You'll probably never, especially won't nothing major like these things we've been talking about up here today, where people get healed of cancer and all this kind of stuff. You won't never see those kind of things because you don't know how to operate and you don't even understand that God has given you these gifts to use for his glory. He gives them to us by his Spirit. He wants us to use these things. But if you don't know they're there, how are you going to use the gift of miracles if you've never even heard it's there? And if you read it, that's just one of the gifts. I just brought that up. The gift of miracles. God says, I'm going to give you the gift of miracles, or I'm going to give you the gift of faith. Somebody said, well, I don't know what that is. I don't know how to use it. Well, you're going to be in trouble because you're never going to ask for it. You're never going to try it. You're never going to use it. If you have no idea that this gift belongs, or these gifts, and there's 9 of these gifts, if you don't know these gifts belong to you, you're never going to use one of them. So if you don't use it, you're never going to see God do anything. But just like Pat said there a while ago, what is the first thing that she started doing all these accidents? What she started doing?
Praying.
My good, doesn't that crazy woman know that you can't get an answer answered down in Panama? Now see, it doesn't matter where she's at. She knows her God is with her all the time. And that he has given her all these gifts and she knows these gifts. She can use these gifts for the glory of God. So, you know, when she starts commanding the spirit of death to leave that guy that got tore up so bad on that motorcycle and starts praying and believing, as she prays and believes, God moves. You know, just think.
if Pat had not been there that day, if she had not showed up, that guy on that big motorcycle, that could have been the end of his life. He could have already been dead. Because, you know, and isn't it amazing, even as spiritual as Pat is, whenever that guy come back to life, you see how amazed she was? Isn't that amazing? You know, we should get past that. We need to get to the point where that when we pray, what should we expect?
The answer.
That's exactly right. We need to believe we're going to get our answer with no doubt. And if it doesn't happen, we think, okay, God, why is this not happening? Because all of his promises are yes and amen. We need to get an answer. But anyway, in 1 Corinthians, we're going to go over there. We're going to read some of these scriptures. In 1 Corinthians 12, starting with verse 1, let's read about these spirits.
Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant.
Okay, now wait a minute. Concerning spiritual gifts, I don't want you to be ignorant. How ignorant do you think the church is when it comes to spiritual gifts? I think we're just a basket case, don't you? I hope in this church it wouldn't be like this. I would never intimidate any of you. But if I went down the hallway saying, okay, tell me just one of the 9 spiritual gifts and how you used it last week. Wow. What are you going to do? Okay. So I don't know about you, but I don't want to be ignorant, do you? You know, he wants us, but if we're not taught these things, we don't talk about these things, we don't learn about the spirits, the gifts of the Spirit, and that they belong to us, and all we got to do is ask God. Here a while back, Cliff over there, he came up and gave a testimony, and I was so amazed. What happened? Somebody at work, I may not tell it exactly right, but he can correct me if I get too far off. Somebody wanted to pray for something, I don't know, a house to be sold or something, or whatever. Anyway, Cliff asked him, said, have you prayed about it? And the guy says, no. He said, well, let's pray. And he said something like this, okay. He didn't know how to pray. So Cliff said, why don't you just get over here out of the way and let a man that believes God pray? And I thought, when he told me something, here he is. You know, that he knows this other guy ain't going to get his prayer answered because he has no faith. So he just tells the guy, sit down, get out of the way, I'll pray, and it'll happen. And so he prayed, and just in a day or two or whatever it was, I don't remember all the details, he got his answer. You know, but, you know, he what's the difference between Cliff and this other guy? He knows he's the righteousness of God in Christ. He knows he's a son of God. He knows that his daddy answers his prayer every time. So that's kind of like we was talking about that Smith Wigglesworth there a while ago when Mike was talking about that. I read a story myself one time about Smith, great man of faith, how they were coming across from England to Europe, to New York City on a ship, and they got run into some tremendous fog just day after day. The fog was so thick, the ship had to go real slow. There was in icebergs and all kinds of stuff. And finally, Smith went to the captain and he said, sir, at this rate, I've got an appointment for a meeting I'm going to host in New York City. And I just wonder, are we going to get there in time? And he says, no, there's not any way with this fog that we can get there in that length of time. He said, well, we need to go somewhere and pray. And the captain said, well, okay, let's go to my office. So they went to the office, and they went in and shut the door, and he said, the fog is so thick, it's unreal. Said the captain says, I'll pray, and since it's my ship. Smith said, no, you don't have any faith. You don't even know what the word faith is. So he just reached up and said, Father, in the name of Jesus, clear the skies so we can get out. In Jesus' name. He said, now you go open the door. They need you for you to pray anyway because there ain't no fog left. Now, is that what you call faith?
Yeah.
The captain says, well, you can't be serious. Then he opened the door and looked out, and it's bright, clear blue skies, as far as you can see. He said, "Sir, who is this God that you pray to that does this?" He said, "His name is Jesus Christ." He said, "How do I get to know him?" He said, "This is the way you do it." And Smith led that captain of that ship to Christ because he saw something demonstrated he knew was beyond anything he had ever seen. Now, see, he's using the gifts of the Spirit to do this. He knows that he's a son of God. He knows he's a joint heir with Christ. And he knows that all these gifts are his to use for the glory of God. And just think, you talk about faith. Here we're all socked in. I thought about whenever that time me and Dave was coming in from over in East Texas, New Mexico. No, it wasn't New Mexico. Shreveport. Yeah, that's the city. I couldn't think. We were coming in from Shreveport one night. We'd been over there 3 nights in a row and preached. And we'd preach over there till 9 or 10 o'clock, and then we'd pray for people. So usually about 1 o'clock, we'd back at the airport, and we'd fly back to Dallas, and then we'd land and go get some rest, and then the next day we'd do it again. Anyway, me and Dave's coming across there. Cheryl was with us. She wasn't seeing nothing, though. She was sleeping at that time of morning. But anyway, she was there. We're coming across there, and as we come across there, all of a sudden I begin to see, it was clear. Over Dallas, it was clear weather. We're flying along there, and the controller, we're way out there. I told him we were going to Northwest Airport. He said, "Well, there's not any traffic between you and Northwest, so," he said, "if you like, just go ahead and, we'll change frequency, and you're cleared out. Radar contact service terminated." I said, "Okay." So we just flying across there, and I began to slow down a little bit because I'm getting close to the airport. And as I'm beginning to slow down, all of a sudden I begin to see, I lower the landing lights. I begin to see all kinds of white puffy stuff all over the place. And I look at, of course, when it's pitch dark outside, you can't hardly see nothing. Your headlights, although they're on, you can't see nothing in front of you until you run into the clouds. We run into those clouds. I saw those things, and I said, "Dave, we got a severe fog in front of us up here. It's really thick." And he looked at the computer. Denton's closest airport to Northwest. He says, "Yeah, Pastor, the visibility at Denton is 00. That means you can't see nothing. I mean, 00. He said, "You want me to line you up for an ILS approach into Alliance?" I said, no. I said, "If we have to land at Alliance, that means we have to do an instrument approach there. And that means that when we do the instrument approach and we land there, then we got to call somebody to come get it because our car is in Northwest. So we're going to have to call somebody, wake somebody up, get them to get a car, come out to the airport, pick us up, bring us home. Then in the morning when I get up, I got to drive back out here with two people in the car, and then I got to take the airplane back over here." I said, "No, it's too much trouble." I said, "I don't want to do that." He said, "What are we going to do?" I said, "Well, we, meaning you're sons of God. We have a Heavenly Father that said we can ask for anything, and he'll do it." He said, "So what are you going to ask for?" I said, "I'm fixing to turn left in about a couple of miles." I said, "Father, in the name of Jesus, when I turn left, I ask you to open a corridor right to the end of that airport and make it clear as a bell so I can see the airport. No problem." Dave looked at me and he said, "Are you crazy?" I said, "No, I'm a son of God." So I said, "Okay, Lord, I'm fixing to turn in." So I turned left, and as I did, the corridor just opened. There it was. There was the end of the runway. We flew right down to the end of the runway. I asked, remember now, he's a faith God. I asked for him to clear the sky to the end of the runway. We flew in, and as soon as we got to the end of the runway, I'm about 10 feet off the ground as I come over the fence. And as I'm coming in right there, all of a sudden, the clouds are thick again. I'm in the soup. I knew the runway was right, so I just let it coast on down. And it bumped, and we hit the runway, and we taxied down, and we come back over, put it in the hangar. And when we got in the hangar, got in the car, started to come home. I almost had to get out of the car to lead Cheryl out. She couldn't see the road. The fog was so thick. And as we got along there and come home, Dave looked at me and he said, "Pastor, you know a God that I don't know exists." He said, "How do you do this?" I said, "Dave, it's quite simple. All you got to do is know who you are in Christ." So he started really studying about learning who he is in Christ. And now then, at the beginning of nearly every healing school for an hour, he teaches you who you are in Christ. Does he not?
Yes.
Does he do a real good job?
Oh, yeah.
Does an awesome job. Because he has seen what happens when you learn you're a son, a true son. When you use these gifts of the Spirit, they will work for you, and you can use these and you can get things done. You can ask God to clear the sky for you, and he will. You can ask him to heal your body. And of course, something about healing your body. Technically speaking, Jesus healed our body on the cross 2,000 years ago. That's just like he told me that time I was out in Silver City, New Mexico, when I was trying to kick that last two demons out of that girl and I couldn't get them out. I said, Lord, I got to have some help here. When's this going to be over? He said, son, I finished it on the cross 2,000 years ago. He said, when you believe it's done, that's when it's done.
Amen.
So it's already been done.
It's done.
So if you can't get it, your healing, what do? You get a little rougher with the devil, right? Just like I did that time whenever I had that problem with my back. I had the problem with it for years. And finally, I got fed up with it. I mean, just like Mike said, with the dirt devils. You know, sometimes we just let the devil do things to us, and we don't even realize it's him doing it. We're being put to the test, and I think he's in there laughing at you, Mike. Yeah, he's in there laughing, saying, look at this dummy. He don't know who he is in Christ. He said, this boy don't know he's got the power. And all of a sudden, one of the gifts of the Spirit kick in, and the Holy Spirit begins to say, Mike, stop letting that beast do that to you. So he said, okay, Lord, we're going to kick him out. And him and his buddy, I bet that was fun to your helpers.
That was fun.
They ain't never seen nothing like that, have they, Mike? Those dirt devils. How much power and authority do we have over all this stuff?
All.
If we have all power and all authority, whenever something comes upon us and starts messing with us, what should we do? Drive it away.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. We got that kind of power. Wow. Isn't that something? All power is given to us in Jesus' name. But I think about these gifts. I don't want to be ignorant. Do you? Concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not that you be ignorant. Boy, I think how ignorant I was. In a Baptist church, as a Sunday school teacher and a deacon, I had no idea that these spiritual gifts belonged to me. I didn't even know what they were. I had never sat down and said, okay, Lord, here's a gift of miracles, or here's a gift of faith, or here's a gift of healing, or whatever. There's nine of those wonderful, powerful. So, but when you call on those spirit, those gifts, when you go out to preach or teach or whatever, when you get up to leave in the morning to go to work, say, Lord, I thank you for all of the spiritual gifts, all of them, nine of them. In fact, for a while, it wouldn't hurt anything if you just label them. Tell him what they are. And if you can't remember what they are, just remember two or three of them. Like the gift of faith, the gift of miracles, the gift of healing. Those are my three favorite ones. I like those, don't you?
Yes.
The gift of miracles. I love it when he lets the gift of miracles come upon you. So when you say, Lord, I'm seeking and desiring these three gifts today. Use me for your glory. You know, just do something great, Lord. I'm here. I'm available. Put that gift of healing upon me, or the gift of faith, or the gift of miracles. Just do something, Lord, in Jesus' name. And then whenever you do that, then you think about what you can do. Like that one young boy. Of course, it's been a while, but I was talking with the airport owner the other day, and he told me he knows that boy, and he sees him every once in a while. I was out there at the airport, and this guy had a little Cub or something, a little single-engine airplane, and he was putting fuel in it, and as he put the ladder up beside the tank, he's kind of hobbling along. You know, as he put the ladder up, he's kind of doing something like this, and I said, son, is there something wrong with your leg? He said, yeah, I was in an accident, messed up my leg, and they had to put some steel pins and plates in my leg. And he said, I said, so it's painful? He said, oh, yeah, it's always painful. Does that sound like a good job for Jesus?
Yes.
See, if you're operating in the gifts of the Spirit, and you have been taught that these spirits, these things, the gift of miracles or the gift of healing. In fact, this one is not just necessarily the gift of healing, but the gift of miracles. This is going to take a miracle to fix this boy. So you say, Lord, I ask you to heal this boy. I said, son, can I pray for you? In other words, you got to believe God is going to do something. And so when I say, can I pray for you? He said, sure, no problem. I said, you are a Christian. He said, oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. You can pray for me. I said, okay. So I walked over there and knelt down around him in the ladder and put my hands on his legs. Craziest looking scene you ever seen in your life. Boy out there filling his fuel, airplane up, and some guy comes up, kneels down on his knees and puts his hands around his leg and starts praying and asking God to take away all the steel in his leg, take away everything and make his leg perfect with no pain, and everything worked perfect in Jesus' name. And he got up and said, now I guarantee my God will fix you. Isn't that something? And I walked off. The boy, he got a hold of the airport owner there and asked him who that guy was that was out there praying for him. He said, well, that's Thurman Scribner. So after a couple of months, walked in the door back there one day, and he said, you remember me? And I said, no. He said, I was that young man out the airport that had the messed up leg that you prayed for. I said, oh, yeah, that's right. I remember praying for you. So I said, what did Jesus do? He said, the minute you prayed and you walked off, I have never had a pain in that leg again since that day. What can our God do, ladies and gentlemen? Now then, if we don't have these gifts, if we don't know we got these gifts of the Spirit, and we don't know that we can use those things, if he's given you the gift of miracles, and he's given you, out of the three we just talked about, the gift of faith can get awesome things done. The gift of miracles can get awesome things done. The gift of healing can get awesome things done. But when you need to change or convert some steel in a man's leg to flesh and blood, I think you need the gift of miracles, don't you? Because that's not just a healing or it's not just whatever, but it is a miracle. But he give us, that's one of the nine gifts of the Spirit, is the gift of healing. I mean, the gift of miracles. So when you pray, you can believe that he'll do it, and he will. Now, you got to believe. Now, of course, you got to remember, the enemy will always be there. I mean, whenever you start to do something like this, start to pray for somebody, and even if you know these gifts are yours, if you're not careful, and Mike will probably confirm this, I don't know what happened in him, but if you're not real careful when you think about rebuking a dirt devil, there's always that little voice that comes up in your head and say, but you know, you dummy, it ain't going to work for you this time. I mean, you have to fight that the rest of your life. He'll always be there to make it, try to counteract the miracles, won't he, Mike? Yeah, the devil. But you got to remember, who is the devil? He's just a peanut. I mean, you know, he has no power over you whatsoever. You got to make sure. That's just like, y'all remember what Smith Wigglesworth told us? Not Smith Wigglesworth, but I'm trying to think of that pastor that died and went to hell. Howard Pittman. Howard Pittman said that when he died and he was going through the veil, there was that beautiful voice kept saying, Howard, you heard that, didn't you? Howard, stop breathing. Everything's going to be okay. Howard, stop breathing. Then he realized who that was. It was the devil. He was trying to kill him. He said, I couldn't die without my approval. I couldn't die without my own approval. So he said, I had to agree with the devil before he could kill me. Now, isn't that something? But most people don't understand these gifts that we have. And so they don't know how to call on God. They don't know how to rebuke the devil. They don't know how to make this work. Wow. Let's go to the next scripture. Verse 2, chapter.
Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led.
You know, we all, even in America, we have some dumb idols. You know that? I mean, we have dumb idols, and we are hooked up with those things. Wow. Next verse.
Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God called Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost.
Okay, now right there is something, you know, that you, what, I remember years ago over in Dallas, when we had our church over in Dallas, there was a lady there that was having, in fact, some of you might have seen that. That was quite a while ago, but anyway, this Sunday, I had something happen that I'd never had happen. Whenever I stepped up on the podium to start teaching, the Lord spoke to me and said, "Son, I have several of my people here today that have pain in their bodies. I want you to call them all up here, and I'm going to heal all of them for you." I said, "Wow." I said, "I've never had this happen." But I said, "The Lord just spoke to me and said, there's several of y'all here got pain in your body. And see, that's why you ought to be in church." You know, I mean, I'm serious. You know, if you want to see some good stuff work, the best place to be on Sunday is in church. I told the people, I figured one or two or three would get up and come up to the podium, but there was probably 25 people. Were you there, Kim? Okay. Cheryl was there, too. She remembered. So, yeah, so anyway, all these people come up, and, of course, Cheryl, I got tickled to her when people started getting healed. As things started happening, she thought, "Well, look, I need to find out. Surely I got some pain somewhere where I can go up there and get it." But she didn't have nothing wrong with her that day, so she didn't come up. But it was amazing, those people, that's when they started coming up. There was one of those ladies that was up there whenever I told them, I said, just say Jesus. I didn't know what to do. I'd never had this happen before. So I just told the people one by one, I just say, "Okay, now then close your eyes and put your hands down by your side, and I'll just start praying over you." And I said, "When your pain goes away, just go sit down." So some of them, it didn't take but a minute or two. I mean, wow, my pain just left, my back, my leg, or whatever. When Jesus said he wanted to heal everybody there, he meant what he wanted to do. So, I mean, as they were going, sitting down and everything, and then this one lady came up, and I said, "Okay, ma'am, I want you to say Jesus, and I'll pray." And so as we're going along there, I said, "Say Jesus." And she says, G. I said, "Ma'am, say Jesus. That's all you got to say is Jesus." She could not say the name Jesus. Now then, from what we just read, if you can't say the name Jesus, what does that mean? Who's controlling you?
The devil.
Because only by the Spirit of the living God can you declare Jesus. So anyway, this woman, and after it, I mean, I'm kind of slow sometimes. So it took me several times. I kept saying, "Say Jesus." And she couldn't do it. She absolutely could not do it. Finally, I decided, okay, one of these wonderful spirits came upon me and showed me that this woman had a spirit of unbelief. She was not a Christian. So I said, "Oh, okay, I see." I said, "You devil of hell." And now, you don't see this too often in church, especially in a Baptist church. Anyway, I spoke to the lady and I said, "I command this spirit of unbelief to come out of you in Jesus' name." I said, "Now, ma'am, I want you to say Jesus." And boy, she just immediately said, "Jesus." She only said two or three times, "Jesus." And then she's totally set free. Her pain has gone away. She's healed. And then the next thing, she gets saved and accepts Jesus as her Lord and Savior.
Amen.
So, see, when you go to church where the Holy Spirit's in operation, you get to see God do some wonderful things. And that was a wonderful day. So we went down through all those gifts and we prayed for everybody. And Kim, how many people that was there out of that 25 or 30, whatever it was that we got to pray for, got healed?
Every one of them.
Every one. Now, isn't that something?
Amen.
Now then, just think.
Including Kim.
Karen.
Including Kim. Remember, that's where I got healed.
Oh, is that the same day you got healed?
That's
the day you got healed. Yeah, you wouldn't even come up there. Yeah, in other words, Kim, in fact, that was their very first time to the church. Her and Scott had never been there before, and so she'd seen too many television programs, you know, about people pushing you down, all that stuff. I just laugh about that. I think, now here's one of God's daughters out there. The gifts of the Spirit are running all through the place, and all kinds of good things are happening. People are getting healed, pain's going away, and all kinds of stuff, and she won't even come up for prayer. But he loves her so much that he heals her. Is that now?
Absolutely. That was awesome.
That has been 10 or 15 years ago.
Yes.
And you hadn't had a back problem since.
No.
Changed your life forever too, didn't it, Scott?
Amen. Yes,
yeah.
It did.
Yeah. Wow. See, you see what happens when you get hooked up with a bunch that believe the Word of God. Oh, I thank you, Jesus. My brother, I don't want you to be ignorant concerning these spiritual gifts, these wonderful things. We want them things working.
Yeah, that's right.
So if you don't know what they are, you can't ask for them. But you know you need to know what they are. You need to ask for them. Lord, I want to be a regular. I started to say I want to be a little pig. No, I don't want to be a little pig. I want to be a great big hog. I want all the gifts of the Spirit, don't you?
Yeah.
I want those things to operate in my life. Wow. But anyway, that day, that lady, by operating in the gifts of the Spirit, that lady, she got healed, she got saved, everything. And of course, I kept up. She came to church there for a long time after that. I cannot remember what that lady's name was, but she came many times. But it changed her life forever. But the Word of God will change your life forever. But by the Spirit of God, wow, what can happen? Next verse. Let's go to the next verse.
Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit.
Okay, now, there's diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. So, the Spirit of the living God, there's only one Holy Spirit, and you don't have to worry about being a whole bunch of Holy Spirits. There's only one Spirit, but He's going to show us how these things work. But there's many different diversities of gifts that He has, but it's all done by the same Spirit. Okay, the next verse.
And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord.
Okay, next verse.
And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all.
In other words, you can't put God in a box. There's so many different ways that He does things. You know, you never know. You know, you just really don't know. But He'll do it. Just like I've told y'all this particular story several times, but I remember this woman that came right here. Her and her husband were standing right here, and she had breast cancer. Now, under normal conditions, you in this church here, we know what causes breast cancer.
Yes, sir.
What causes it? What is it? Unforgiving, just like Mark was talking about a while ago, you know, whenever he had cancer,
prostate
cancer, he knew because he had heard us say what the problem is. And it's when men do things that they're not supposed to do, looking at women and all those kind of things. Well, just like he said, I was guilty of all those things. How many young men are guilty of most of those things? Most of them are. So don't nobody try to run him down and say, well, you know, he should have known better. No, because you didn't know better either. You know, we're all guilty.
I've been to many churches in my life until I started coming here. I didn't know my sin was what caused my sickness.
Most people do not know that, but now we know that for sure, don't we?
Absolutely.
In other words, when you get rid of the sin, or... I mean, he's just one, but you have no idea how many men I have prayed for that I've got them to repent of sin, and they confess their sin, and they quit looking at women and start, you know, looking at pornography and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, just like women, when women get upset with another woman, it causes that unforgiveness to come into her heart, and then that causes breast cancer to come upon her. I mean, that's amazing how this works. But, wow, anyway, this lady and her husband come up here, and she, of course, when she comes up, she looks at me and she said, Pastor, I've listened to your teaching on breast cancer, and she said, you all always say that I have unforgiveness toward a female, but she said, this time you're wrong. I have no unforgiveness toward a female. Okay, now, I have these spirits that are going to operate within my life if I ask for them. And so whenever she said that, I said, well, ma'am, all I can say is the evidence is against you.
Yeah.
You know, when you've seen as many women have breast cancer as I have, and Cheryl has, we know that it's unforgiveness toward a female. So anyway, when Cheryl started talking to her, I go to the Spirit, and I say, Holy Spirit, Lord, I need you to give me wisdom. Now, does the Bible say any man lack wisdom, let him ask God?
Yes.
So if we need wisdom, we need to ask God for some help here, right? Either that or we can remain and be ignorant. Well, I don't want to be ignorant. I want to ask the Lord. So when I asked the Lord, I said, I need help here. I need some wisdom. And I mean, just like that. I heard him just as clear as a bell. He said, son, ask the woman if her husband has ever committed adultery against her. Oh, so I said, honey, sure, hold it just a second. I said, the Lord just spoke to me. He gave me a word of knowledge, one of the gifts. He's given me one of the gifts. I said, ma'am, has your husband ever committed adultery on you? Yes, he has, but that's 15 years ago, but I forgive him. And then the Spirit spoke to me again and says, ask her if she's forgiven the woman. So I said, ma'am, did you forgive that woman? What do you think that meant? Yes, I forgive her. I love her. Yeah, sure you do. That's not even fooling you, is it? We sure wasn't fooling God. And I said, well, that's the problem. I said, now, is that woman, now, see, most people never think about it like this. Is that woman that your husband committed adultery with, by you holding bitterness and unforgiveness, is this whole thing worth you having your breasts removed because of her? I think I'd do it just like Jesus said, forgive her and I'll take care of it, right? So that's what she said. Okay, I'm so sorry. And so she said, I forgive her. And we prayed for her. And the next month, they came back to another healing school, and her breast cancer was gone. Yeah. You see these gifts, the gifts of the Spirit. And God has put these things in here for you and me. Because without him, what can we do? We can't do anything. We need to get that in our spirit. That without him, we can do absolutely nothing. But with him, what's impossible?
Nothing.
That's right. Nothing is impossible. Wow. Okay, next verse.
But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal.
Okay, now see, he's given these things here expecting you and me to call on him, to ask him, and do some great and mighty things. That's why Paul's teaching us the things he's teaching us. He wants us to learn how this works so that we can be men and women of God and we can do great things for the kingdom of God. To every man, every one of us, these are available to you and me, everybody. Okay, the next verse.
For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom.
Now, wait a minute. Now, see, now there's that gift of wisdom, that other place that we were just talking about. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask God. And so the scripture, it adds to this. In other words, it says that when you ask, God will give it to you. He will not withhold that precious information that you need to work with somebody. All you got to do is ask.
To another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit.
Now, isn't that wonderful? What does he know? Everything. A word of knowledge. Just think. That's just like that time down at DFW Airport when the VP, when they were down all night long, couldn't find out what was wrong with the boilers. Whenever I came in that morning, the VP told me I had to get down there and help those boys to find out what was wrong. I went down there and that boiler were carrying over like crazy. When I looked at that and saw what was happening, I said, Lord, I have never seen a boiler or all the boilers carry over like this in my life. I need knowledge. I need wisdom. I need understanding to be able to know what's wrong so we get this company, my company I'm working for, back online. And I said, Lord, thank you for the answer. And just like that, he said, your condensate is contaminated. Dump it. Well, I knew what to do with that. Most of you in this room probably wouldn't have had a clue what to do with that. But if it had been you that asked for that, he would have given you the information that would have helped you solve the problem. But he knew I knew what I knew, and with him telling me just that word or two of knowledge, I could handle it. And so we did. And within 15 minutes, we had that thing going. We had the boilers back up. I went back up front, and the VP comes to see me and said, Thurman, I understand you've already got it fixed. I said, yeah, it was quite simple. He said, the boys had worked on it all night. They couldn't fix it. What was wrong with it? I said, well, the waters were carrying over. And I said, he said, how did you find it so quick? I said, I asked God for a word of knowledge, and he told me. You did what? Now, are you a child of God?
Yes.
Does these gifts belong to you too?
Yes.
Sure they do. So, I mean, so when you ask, expecting something to happen, what's God going to do for you? He's going to do the same thing for you he did for me. And, of course, then whenever I told him, I said, you know, just Jesus, Pepe. You know, his name was Pepe. The Pepe Pinto, that was the VP's name. He was blowed away. But, you know, I think you and I, as sons and daughters of God, the world ought to look at us as blowed away when they see the things we do every day. The things that are normal for you and me. I mean, I'm like Sid Roth on this. I live in a world where everything is supernatural. Isn't that the way we should be? I mean, our world, everything around us, it's just like whenever somebody called here a while back and asked somebody, said, we saw Pastor Thurman on Sid Roth's show, and we want to know how many of the people that he prays for gets healed. And that's the answer that was given. Somebody said, all of them. They said, you mean every human being he prays for gets healed? They said, well, let me qualify that just like he does. He says, if you will do what I tell you to do from God's word, you will honor his word, you will do what he says, and you'll believe what it says, and you'll repent of all your sins and start believing God's word, yes, everybody he prays for gets healed. So isn't that amazing? All they got to do is obey God and do what God says. And it is true. God answers prayer every time. Wow. Wisdom and knowledge, yeah. By the same Spirit. Okay, next verse.
To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit.
Now just think. If God, in other words, if he puts a gift of healing upon you, I mean, how do you know when that's working? You really don't know when it's working. He may put the Spirit, in other words, it'd be like that woman in the airport, Frances Hunter. I was down at her place years ago. Frances was telling me a story about going through the airport in Kentucky. And she was a much younger woman. She's now deceased, of course, but she was younger then. And she says, as we were going through the airport, she said, I was late to catch a flight. And she said, I'm running to get to the next flight, so I didn't, because it was a little late. And she said, I go through there, and here's a man in a wheelchair. And she said, the Lord spoke to me and said, Francis, if you'll lay hands on that man, I'll heal him for you. She said, Lord, I ain't got time. I'm going to miss my flight. Then she thought, oh, my God, there's a man in a wheelchair. I'm going to get somebody healed in a wheelchair. Why not just get this one? So she runs over and just says, be healed. Thank you, Lord. And she's gone. I thought, didn't that take a long time? So she went ahead and got on the airplane and caught her flight and went on and everything. She had her meeting. The next day she come back through there, and there's a big set of newspapers that says, unknown woman lays hands on a man and he gets healed and walks out of a wheelchair. If God, if you know these spirits are here and they're for you and me, if God tells you one of those things to move, do it. Is that right, Mike? I mean, if you're listening to the Spirit at all, I'm going to tell you, whether you know it or not, whenever those dirt devils was coming out there at the front, the Lord was testing you, and somewhere along the line, one of these spirits moved on your heart and said, that's enough. Enough's enough, Mike. Is that right? And so Mike goes out there and says, you dirt devils of hell, in the name of Jesus, you will not come in my shop no more. Do you understand me? Can you imagine somebody seeing him out there speaking to the weather? I said, man, that's the best mechanic in town. Yeah, he is the best mechanic in town because he is attached to that mighty God. That's the reason he's the best mechanic in town. But he's also a pretty good man of God, too. So when he speaks to the devil of hell and commands him to leave, and the next one comes right up to the front door and makes a 90-degree turn and goes off across there, can you imagine that? Well, isn't that something? I don't even know how many of tornadoes, full-blown tornadoes. Has anybody in here ever spoken to a tornado and it went away?
Okay, several of you have. Okay, praise God. How much power and authority do you have over them devils?
All.
Okay, so don't let them tear up your house. I got real tickled here a while back. There was an adjuster, an insurance adjuster. I know him quite well. He's quite a man of God. He's got a wife, lovely wife. In fact, I married his wife and everything. In fact, I married him right here in this church a few years ago, and they now have two boys,
a boy and a girl.
Okay, boy and a girl.
But
anyway, there was a storm come through the area. Tornadoes all down in Cleburne, up in South Dallas. He called me. He said, Thurman, I'm so glad I got you. I said, well, what's wrong? He said, have you seen the news yet? I said, yeah, I just turned it on. It says there's some tornadoes down Dallas. I'm just fixing to rebuke those things. He said, I thought so. He said, Thurman, please don't do that. We need some work. We need some work, so don't rebuke those tornadoes. Let them happen. Oh, Lord. He said, some of those people probably need new houses anyway, so let us get some work. I mean, isn't that amazing? Isn't that an amazing way to be known?
Yes.
If Thurman prays for a tornado, it's going to go away. I love it, don't you?
Yes.
Because they know Thurman didn't make that tornado go away. But they know the Jesus Thurman serves is the one who made that tornado go away. It was not me. Y'all all know that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. What can our Jesus do?
Anything
you can believe him for. Is that right? You have to believe. If you don't believe, it won't happen. Somebody says, well, I hope he'll heal me. No. You got to believe he will. It's already done. Read verse 10.
To another, the working of miracles.
Oh, I love that one. I mean, that one came into operation when I was in Manny, Louisiana with Johnny Brumfield and Norma Garcia. Here's a woman with unforgiveness in her heart against her daddy. And she had repented, and after she repented, she come running down that aisle from the back. And I mean, when that woman got right here, this Spanish woman, and said, Thurman, I'm guilty. I hated my dad because he was abused me sexually when I was a little girl. She said, I hated him, but I've forgiven him. Now I have Parkinson's and lupus. And I reached up and laid my hand on her shoulder and said, be healed in Jesus' name. And God healed that woman. Everything in her body was completely healed right there. Is it fun serving a living, live Jesus?
Amen.
The gift of miracles. I mean, when the gift of miracles come upon you, that woman got healed of everything. Wow. Okay, honey, keep reading.
To another, prophecy.
Okay, prophecy. Wow, prophecy.
To another, discerning of spirits.
Wow.
To another, divers kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues.
Okay. Why is it, if all these gifts are here, why is it that so few people in most denominational churches anyway, and I mean, you take, well, I can only talk about the one I was raised in, the church of the Baptist church. I was in the Baptist church years and years and years. Never, ever, ever heard anybody preach a message about what we're talking about right here. But I've been to a lot of churches of Christ, too, that don't believe this either. So what's the problem? Why do we not believe this? I mean, is what we've been reading in the Bible?
Yes.
And he tells us that all these gifts are here. They're for you and me. So why don't we use those? Why don't we start calling on the Lord and saying, Lord, I'm going to read down through 1 Corinthians 12. I'm going to make an outline. I'm going to list all nine of these magnificent spiritual gifts that you give us. Then I'm going to start quoting these every day. And every morning when I wake up, I'm going to ask you to use me with these gifts somehow, some way. I don't care what you want to do, but here I am, Lord. Send me. I want the gift of healing, the gift of miracles, the gift of faith, tongues, everything. All nine of them. I'll take them, Lord, and just see what happens. I guarantee you're going to be well pleased.
Amen.
If you ask God to use you, he's looking for somebody that's doing something good. And if you'll be that person, if it lines up with his word,
And everything we've read today had came out of his word, did it not?
Yeah.
All these gifts of the Spirit are in his word. And he said he'd give those to us. So if you ask him for them, Lord, thank you for giving me the gift of healing. Thank you for giving me the gift of miracles. Thank you for giving me the gift of tongues, interpretation of tongues. Thank you for a word of knowledge. Boy, you know what you can do. All you need sometimes is one word from God. And you can do more good things with one word from God than you can a whole sack full of answers. You see what I mean? Because God, he don't have to talk much to cover a lot of territory. Your condensate is contaminated, dump it. That was real simple. But they'd been working all night and couldn't figure out what the problem was. But when God spoke to me, I knew what the problem was. So, wow. Cheryl and I was going somewhere here a while back, Baltimore or somewhere, and we was over at the airport, and a guy that used to be my director, he come over and said, "Hey, Thurman, how are you doing?" I said, "Well, I'm great." He said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Well, I'm still preaching the gospel." He said something like, "Well, I'm sure you're doing a good job because you really did a good job at the place where we worked. I preached the gospel." He was a Baptist. But he was a normal Baptist. One of those kind that is very good in the world and very little in the word. Wow. What time is it?
4:15.
The working of miracles and another prophecy into another discerning of spirits. Wow. Next verse. What can you do with all these mighty things? If all these are yours and you know that they're yours, these gifts of the Spirit, and they're available to you, all you got to do is ask.
Amen.
Just name one of them. Say, "Lord, I might not have the power to do enough of these things. So, Lord, just give me one gift, the gift of a word of knowledge. Just that gift, Lord. When I need a word of knowledge, I'm going to ask you to start me out kind of even, easily here. And whenever I need a word of knowledge for something that I'm working on or doing something for you or for somebody else, just give me a word of knowledge." I mean, you may be planting your garden and you don't really know what you're doing in some areas. You say, "Lord, I need a word of knowledge. What time of the year do I plant my seed?" And he'll give you a word of knowledge as to when to plant. Do you know there's a time to plant? Do you know that, in fact, I don't remember, of course, Peggy and Roy, they probably know this, but I don't even remember, but my dad, he used to tell me that there is a certain time of the month, according to the moon, whether it's the dark side of the moon or the light side of the moon, as you plant certain seeds. And he always had a beautiful garden. Some people say, you know, you can plant anytime you want to. I guarantee those people that really know the truth, that know and have got these words of knowledge, because this is where these come from. Man didn't come up with this on his own. God helped him. And if you know what time to plant, you can plant and you get a tremendous crop. I've seen men that will plant seed for hay, planted in the wrong time of the month. And it don't make hardly anything. But if they plant it at the right time, they have a tremendous crop. Isn't that amazing? I made a statement here a while back that these words of knowledge, words of wisdom, and all these things that God has given to mankind, just think, for 6,000 years, man lived riding in a wagon with a horse and wooden wheels. You know that? We didn't have wheels, no cars. Do you know 150 years ago there was no cars? Just 150 years ago. You know 150 years ago there was no airplanes? No such thing as an airplane. Now then, I mean, it's amazing how when you look at life, when you don't know it but one way. Just like when Tim was growing up, Tim and Amanda, my kids, As they were growing up, one day we were driving over close to Stephenville. They used to have a lot of dairies over there. And Tim says, or Amanda, I think, she said, "Daddy, what are all those big buildings?" I said, "Honey, that's the dairies. That's where milk comes from." Tim spoke and said, "Daddy, Mama, you need to tell Daddy that milk comes from Walmart. Milk don't come from out there. It comes from Walmart." But where did he see milk come from?
Walmart.
When Mama goes into Walmart to buy groceries, she buys milk. And there's the counter, and he sees that. And you pull out a gallon, put it in your rack, go down, check out, and take it home. And when he needs it, he drinks milk. So milk comes from Walmart. He doesn't realize it comes from the cow first. But he doesn't do that. Isn't that cool? Of course, Tim wouldn't be big enough. If I was to remind him of that today, he probably don't remember that because he was just a little bitty guy. But I thought how cool that was. Daddy, Mama, you need to tell Daddy milk comes from Walmart. He knew where milk come from. And it certainly didn't come from that barn out there. It come from Walmart. Oh, Lord. Oh, goodness. All these wonderful gifts. Let's go on one more verse and see what we got here.
But all these worketh that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will.
Okay, so all of these spirits, if you really want to see God use you and these spirits, make you a list, put all nine of these spirits down there, these gifts of the Spirit, and then call on the Lord and ask the Lord, every day when you get up, say, "Lord, the gift of knowledge or the gift of wisdom or the gift of interpretation of tongues or whatever." Just say, "Lord, I need you to use me with one of these gifts. I want to see you do something great with one of these gifts." And he'll do something beyond your wildest dreams, I can guarantee it. You know, wouldn't it be fun if he were to operate in you in the gift of healing and he were to just tell you, lay hands on somebody. This is what we do. We're walking along here, and here's a woman, and the Lord says, the Spirit says, "Touch her, and I'll heal her." You look at her and think, if I reach over and touch her, she might slap me. You see? I mean, we try to think of so many things to do to not do what God tells us to do. And so if you don't touch her, or if it's a question, you say, "Ma'am, do you have something wrong with you?" "Well, yes, I have a pain in my arm." "Well, I mean, do you believe in prayer?" "Why, sure I do." "Well, would you mind if I touched you where that pain is?" And she says, "No, that'd be fine." So you reach over and say, "Be healed in Jesus' name." And the woman says, "Ah, my goodness gracious, the pain just went away." Isn't that going to be something? But if you do that, you'll get to see these, right, Mike?
Absolutely.
Absolutely, yeah. If you don't do it, you won't see it. But if you'll do it, if you'll call on the Lord to give you these gifts, and then whatever he tells you to do, sometimes it's going to be something you're going to think, "I can't possibly do that." Of course, here we don't have that problem. People come here to get healed. They've heard about this place and the healing schools we have, so when they get sick, they come see us. Is that right, Miss Jackie? And they get healed too, don't they? Lots of them do. And that's what we want. We want you to get healed, and that's why Jesus has made this place special for his people to come and get healed, because he wants you to be healed. But he also wants you to know that, just like Mark there a while ago, Mark said that until he started coming out here, he did not know that sin and sickness were directly related. But you know, most people don't know that. You know that? Barron, you didn't know that, did you? But you know it now, don't you? Well, I asked Barron the other day, "Do you believe sin and sickness are directly related?" He said, "Absolutely, it's all over the book." I mean, there was a time in his life, my life, and everybody's life that if you'd have said sin and sickness are directly related, they'd say, "You're crazy." But now we know that's true. So we learned it by the Spirit of the living God. Isn't he awesome? Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this day. I thank you for these folks that come out and how our team of folks is going to pray for these people. And they're all going to get healed today. You want them all healed, so we're going to pray. We're going to lay hands on them. We're going to rebuke the spirits, whatever. And they're all going to get healed. So if they'll only believe, they'll get healed. Lord, I thank you and praise you for blessing us. In Jesus' name, amen.